This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. There's so much going on in the world. Of course, we get wrapped up in elections and talking about all of the ins and outs, the daily minute by minute of a presidential campaign. And there's so much consequence to what Americans decide to do this November. Meanwhile, when you flip on the news, you see that the headline right now, Iran rejects calls to refrain from retaliation. We see assets with the American military being positioned for defense. It's a dramatic moment in time on a global scale. And we have to make sure we have broad vision on what our local decisions this election season, what they're going to mean. And in order to have good opinions on that, it's good to have real, true, factual information on what is going on in the world, which is why we have Jim Carafano on each week. He's a senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, great to be with you.
Thank you. I'm watching the news. They're covering what's going on as Israel gets ready to defend against an Iranian strike. What can you tell us about this moment in time in the Middle East?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, what are they waiting for? I mean, what exactly are the Iranians, a full moon? I mean, here's what I think the Iranians have to think about, and it has nothing to do with American diplomacy. And, you know, you probably saw the news today. We just deployed another U.S. nuclear submarine to the Middle East. It has 150 Tomahawks. That's literally 150 targets.
Wow.
Because if the U.S. is going to be shooting itself, the first thing they're going to do is take out anything that can shoot down a Tomahawk. And then the Tomahawks are all going to where they're directed. We have F-22s, F-35s, a whole task force from the 6th Fleet there, including an aircraft carrier. So Iran has very weak air and missile defense systems. So what we don't know, because diplomacy is stupid, what we don't know is the back channels. I mean, what are the quiet messages that the United States have passed through third parties to the Iranians? And if it's, dude, if you shoot at Israel, not only are we going to, you know, shoot everything down, we're going to attack the places where stuff was shot from. And then that's going to open the door for Israel to a massive retaliation against Iran, which could actually potentially topple the government. Now, we don't know if that's the message the Americans sent, but we do know that the Iranians can look at all that hardware that the United States has deployed and think they're not just there on vacation.
When you're watching Iran, and I feel as though we've been covering this potential retaliatory strike for a while now, and they are waiting. Is that American influence that's causing them to hesitate? Is there something that you think Iran feels they're better poised to do it on Friday versus on Monday? Why wait?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's enormous risk here for the Iranian regime. I mean, look, sure, they can fire missiles at Israel, but Israel's a very resilient society. And the Israelis can not only have an excuse to punch back. I mean, we know the targets that the Israelis are going to go after. They're going to take out all the command and control that allows the Iranians to actually control their country. They're going to take out the electrical grid. They're going to hit stuff that allows Iran to export oil and make money. And then they're going to start to go after the nuclear targets. And Iran, you have to ask yourself, the Iranian regime, is it worth it to do all that? There are many, many other ways the Iranians can strike back. They can do covert operations. They can have Hezbollah shoot missiles. You know, they can fight to the last, you know, person in Lebanon. They can fight to the last, you know, Palestinian. So, you know, I know I've said this on your show before. I have, you know, when I talk, people think, oh, Jesus, this guy knows what he's talking about. Look, I'm wrong. There's lots of times I'm wrong. You know what's consistent when I'm wrong? It's because I discount the stupid, reckless, risky option. Because, like, what normal person would do that? So I'm not saying Iran's not going to attack. I'm just saying that there's a lot of risk for them in doing an all-out assault on Israel.
How much of what is taking place right now, I mean, I guess you only know what you know and can fill in the blanks and the rest, but how much of what is taking place between Iran and Israel right now of that conversation is America involved in?
Well, this is, look, if you listen to the public things, you would think the United States are literally freaking idiots, right? I mean, all the stuff we've said publicly, I think, is 99.99% designed for domestic consumption and the election and has nothing to do with actually messaging to the Middle East. Because if it was actually messaging to the Middle East, you would say, take all those people out back and shoot them for stupid. What we don't know is what's being said behind the scenes, which probably matters just way more. And it is, that is actually what really drives Middle East diplomacy. It's not what's said in public. It's what's said quietly, because you have to remember, in this part of the world, honor is power. You're powerful if you can threaten and punish your enemies, and you never want to be perceived as weak. So if you want to send really tough signals, or if you want to basically capitulate and not say it in public, you do it behind the scenes.
So is Iran worried about upsetting America?
Well, look, this is where I have to give my, I'm not partisan, I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat. They know what they have with Biden, which is a guy who tries to straddle the traditional Democratic position of we can't throw an ally under the bus, and the radical wing of the party, which would definitely throw them under the bus. We know that if it's a Kamala Harris, that in January they will get a president who is in the radical wing of the party that is with the squad and doesn't believe in Israel and actually believes that unleashing Islamism is not only good in the Middle East, it's good in America. And that is the perfect president for them. If they get Donald Trump, they know they've got a problem. But if it is Donald Trump, they've got November, December, and January to do what they need to do to prepare for that. Mm-hmm. So they've got a lot of options. All of them are foreclosed if they start firing missiles today.
We're speaking with Jim Carafano with the Heritage Foundation. Fox News report, in a different location in the world, Russian President Vladimir Putin is scrambling to counter Ukrainian offensives amid a week-long invasion in Russia's Kursk, I hope I'm saying that right, region, in what Ukrainian President Zelensky argued Monday night was a border security operation. What's taking place in that conflict currently?
Yeah, this is, well, first of all, the amazing thing, which I think took everybody, as we've all been surprised so many times in this war, is that the Ukrainians had managed to assemble a strategic reserve of that size and that military capability, because it's actually quite sophisticated offensive, and do this. And nobody knew that the Ukrainians had in them. So I actually think, if you're the Russians, the first thing you got to say is, well, why didn't I know that was going to happen? And what else do the Ukrainians have up their sleeve that I don't know about? From the Ukrainian side, it's very, very difficult because we've been arguing about this for days in the, you know, on the email with the military circles to assess the Ukrainian operation, because we don't actually know what the strategic objective is. And since we don't really know how this fits into the overall Ukrainian plan, it's very, very difficult to say, well, is it working or not?
What is America's obligation right now to that conflict? Because I know we spent a lot of money and sent a lot of money over there, but what has that culminated in?
That's super easy to answer. Our obligation is to protect our interests. That's it. Zero. We have zero actual obligations to the Ukrainians. As much as we all maybe want them to win, because, you know, we don't like bullies beating up on people. And what is our interest? And our interest is a stable Europe that can't be destabilized by the Russians or infiltrated by the Chinese. And so that means a secure frontier of NATO. Now, are we better off with a free and independent Ukraine that, can defend itself? Does that contribute to a, secure frontier of NATO, which means a secure Europe, which means a secure transatlantic community? The answer is yes.
Jim Carafano speaking with us right now. I want to ask you about a story that everybody's talking about, but I want to ask you, about it from somewhat of a different angle, because we have two vice presidential candidates right now who have served. And it's been a while that we have been able to look at people who are running for this high profile of an office where we've been able to really talk about military service. And we have two individuals who have given of their time and you know, the commitment of their life to be able to serve their country. I think that's admirable. Of course, Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, the VP candidate for Harris, served for 24 years in the Minnesota National Guard. I'm wondering if, in the midst of all of this stolen valor conversation, which is not really the question I want to ask you about how you feel about that specifically, I'm wondering what you think that the American sentiment is on the whole about our military, about people who choose to serve in the military, and about the job that is ahead of this military.
Well, I would definitely say that military, that the military service is, still valued and respected by most Americans. I think confidence in the military has declined in recent years. I think that's because of feckless leadership in Washington. I'm just being honest. You know, I would say is you remember, I've said this a million times, doesn't matter what you think you're voting for, you are voting for the commander in chief of the U.S. Armed Forces. And people say, well, what does military service mean to that? Well, some of our greatest presidents, you know, didn't have military service. I mean, you know, probably our greatest war president was Abraham Lincoln. He had, you know, a couple of, got lost in the Black Hawk War and had to walk home. And, you know, Ronald Reagan, who wore a uniform, but, you know, never really served in combat. So, and you can have military service and be a terrible president because your military service may not have anything to do with the level of, stuff that you would expect from a military leader. So military service is, get back to the stolen valor thing. The reason why it's a big issue, and the things that are a big issue, are things of credibility. You know, were you honest about the awards you received, where you served, the rank you had? And the reason for that isn't so much, are you lying? Because lots of politicians lie, we get that. But when people misstate their military credentials for political or financial gain, that rubs Americans the wrong way. That is, you know, kind of a red line, I think, for a lot of people.
Your experience of paying attention to what's been going on in the southern border and really drawing a spotlight towards it for much longer than, unfortunately, the current administration
right.
has been, specifically on this show, when you look at the southern border and then I always consider it to be a great distraction, whether or not we fight over whether or not Kamala Harris was, in fact, the words borders are. She was
right.
put in charge of it. And I'm curious if you think that the border situation right now is Kamala Harris's to bear that responsibility as much as it is Joe Biden's.
Yeah, I mean, I would say yes. But, you know, I'm not a Republican, not a Democrat. But if anybody thinks that they're going to be better on the border in another, you know, Biden, you know, Obama, Biden, Harris, it's not going to happen. If they do anything on the border, it will be because they are forced to by events, a terrorist attack, something super catastrophic. But I absolutely would 1,000% be anything they're saying about the border now is literally politics to get through the election. I mean, and it's just not true. And I say that because there is actually several issues where we just know they're not being honest. I mean, we're not going to try to ban fracking. Well, of course they are. I mean, these are just foundational things in the party that they just can't turn off and say, well, we're not going to care about that. You know, we're just going to do better in the next 4 years. It's just not true.
You made a comment earlier about the boldness of places like Iran, and should one side of this presidential race win, that they're going to have just a few months to get their affairs in order before a dramatically different approach to Iran would take office in January. How dramatic do you think that the southern border will be affected if the policy takes a right angle turn come this election? Will we see an effective change rapidly if the Trump policies got put back in place?
Well, I think this is the right. I mean, this is one of the issues where you have basically two people running for office who have a track record. It's not like a bunch of promises. I mean, look, Harris is going to be very dependent on people that were in the Obama, Biden, Harris regime. So it's going to be, we know what they're going to deliver because that's what they've delivered, not just the last 4 years, but 8 years under Obama. We know exactly what Trump's going to do on the border, and he's very experienced at it. And the one thing you cannot debate is whether Trump will be successful in securing the border and in reducing the illegal population. We know he will be. And in dealing with Latin America. I mean, we know Mexico is going to play ball. These guys know how to deal with Mexico. They learned their lessons on Venezuela. I mean, not only are we going to see different policies, we can be very confident in the outcome of the policies because we saw them put in place for us in the 4 years under Trump. So these are issues handling the economy, foreign policy, border security and immigration. These things are not up for debate, right? Because, you know, we have a track record. You know, it's if you watch the Olympics and you saw people get, you know, in the race, isn't it shocking that the people with world records and the Olympic medals, you know, they were the ones that won. And, why was that? Well, because they had a track record of, no pun intended, but, you know, they had performance, and you can judge that, and you could predict their future performance. It's not like the stock market.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There is a track record, and everybody needs to pay a lot of attention to it come November. We appreciate you, Jim Carafano. Definitely a lot of things heating up, and we always love having you on here to give us some of the facts.
Thanks. You're
Take
the
care.
Best.
You are.
Really, no. You really are the best. There's nobody better on radio than Annie Fry. Period.
Tim.
End of drop mic. See ya.
Bye. I appreciate you. Oh, I don't think he had to remember my name there when he paused. Like, whose radio show am I doing right now? Oh, that's very kind of him to say. I'm excited for our next guest. Was excited for our last guest. If you didn't hear the whole conversation with Jim, make sure you check out the Annie Fry Show podcast, or you can just rewind on the stream. We'd be happy to share that with you here as soon as we wrap up the show. Caroline Leavitt's going to be with us when we come back. She's the Trump 2024 National Press Secretary. You hear Jim Carafano is saying, not a partisan. Caroline is all in for Trump, obviously. She is the National Press Secretary for Donald Trump's campaign. We're going to ask her about that Trump on X last night with Elon Musk. We're going to ask her about debates with Kamala Harris. And if you've got a question you want me to ask her, make sure you get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel right now. Leave it in the comments. I'll keep my eye on them. Maybe get your question in here when we come back. Don't go away.
I'll be with you when the...
This is the Annie Fry Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Go.
Well, and I mean, speaking of the sort of slide that got you to turn that saved your life, really, was the illegal immigration slide. Maybe this,
right.
Maybe this is worth talking about that.
It was
that slide saved
your
life.
No, the illegal immigration saved my life. You're right, but I had to be at that exact angle.
I mean, that's a great one.
That's the kind of conversation that took place last night between the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, hoping to be the next president of the United States, Donald Trump, along with Elon Musk. On his space on X. That's what we listened to last night. It was 2 hours. I listened to the whole thing. It got started late, but once it got going, it got going. And it was a pleasure to be able to listen to. I want to bring our next guest onto the show. Carolyn Sunshine joins us once again, Deputy Director of Communications for Donald Trump for President. Caroline, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Doing okay. Glad that you could be with us today. Somebody suggested in our comments on our YouTube live stream right now whether or not we thought that the Elon Musk conversation with Donald Trump actually helped Donald Trump, in this day and age with the media being as slanted as it possibly could. It seems as though Donald Trump is trying to take alternative media outlets as a way to get his version of the story out and have his conversations on his terms.
Yeah, well, one thing we know for sure in this country is that the liberal mainstream media does not have the trust of the American people. And this has been happening for years. Actually, it really kind of coincides with President Trump's original political rise all the way back in 2015. But the liberal mainstream media has lost credibility over each of those years with the American people for obvious reasons. Look at all of the lies. They lie every day that ends in Y, whether it's about the origins of COVID, the Hunter Biden laptop story, the lies that they've told about President Trump and his family. Of course, the big lie of concealing Joe Biden's cognitive decline from the American people. I mean, Joe Biden is the commander in chief of the U.S. military, president of the United States. Very clear, he is not in the shape one needs to be in to lead the greatest country in the world. And the liberal mainstream media played a role in covering that up and lying to the American people about that. Now they continue to lie about Kamala Harris and her record. And so what you see is more and more Americans have moved to alternative sources of media. They're looking for independent voices and platforms that they can trust. And that's what they have found on X. And so you watched last night or listened last night to two geniuses converse for a couple hours in a format that was, you know, you could never see Kamala Harris in that setting, right? It was unscripted. It was freewheeling. I thought Greg Gutfeld posted on X and really said it best. He said, just incredible to see a political candidate be able to converse on any number of those more intellectual topics so freely without having to have binders of information in front of them or 10 staffers around them, whatever. And that's who Donald Trump is. You know, he's authentic, but he also has actually a very granular grasp of the policy issues. And then, of course, I thought Elon Musk said it best last night, too, when he said, you know, I've actually been fairly apolitical most of my life. If anything, I've actually leaned Democrat. I've been more moderate. I waited in line for 6 hours one time to shake Barack Obama's hand. And I think it's so important to vote for President Trump. And we're seeing more and more of those types of voters come over to our campaign. And we want to meet them where they're at. And a lot of the times they're on places like X and getting their message and their media from alternative platforms outside of the liberal mainstream media that they've grown to really have zero trust in for very obvious and very fair reasons.
We're speaking with Carolyn Sunshine. She's the Deputy Director of Communications for Donald Trump for President on X at C Sunshine. Go follow her there. So, you know, I was listening to that. It was 2 hours. And Donald Trump, it doesn't matter what you throw at him in a conversation. He has context. He's been there. Mm-hmm. And he also has ideas of where we need to go next. And I'm wondering if right now the Trump campaign feels like it's more important to define the opponent in Kamala Harris, or if it's more important to define a vote for Donald Trump, this is what you're going to get in a second Trump term should he be elected in November.
Yeah, well, it's both, because the reality that the American people face is both. So there's two dynamics going on here. One is that we know anytime you run for president as a Republican, actually really not as a Republican, as a anti-establishment candidate, which is who Donald Trump has run as ever since he came down the escalator in 2015, that's who he's running as today. There's only one anti-establishment candidate in this race, and that's Donald J. Trump. And we know when you run as that candidate, right, you are not just running against the Democrat nominee. You are always running against the Democrat nominee and the liberal mainstream media and swamp apparatus that kicks in and chooses their candidate. We watched this happen in 2016 with Hillary Clinton. You're watching it happen again with Kamala Harris. So that's the first dynamic at play, right? But the second dynamic at play, and so when it comes to defining Kamala Harris, basically it should be the job of the, you know, mainstream media in this country to hold Kamala Harris to account, to force her into opportunities to be in front of the American people, whether that is a press conference that she hasn't done. It's been 22 days since she's been the nominee from selection versus election, hasn't sat down for an interview, hasn't taken tough questions, hasn't done a press conference. The liberal mainstream media is failing to do its job by holding her to account and having her do that. You couldn't contrast that further, obviously, with how President Trump does things. But it's an important point because I think the liberal mainstream media knows that if they, if Kamala Harris is to sit down and take a tough interview or tough questions, the castle is going to crumble the same way it did for Joe Biden. So again, that just speaks to their dishonesty and their lack of credibility. So that's the first dynamic at play, is that you're, you know, defining her. It should be the job of the media to tell the truth about who Kamala Harris is. Yeah. But as we often find in our campaign, while that is their job, it ends up being ours. And so we intend to keep telling the truth about who Kamala Harris is to every voter in this country, meeting them on every medium, every platform. And then the second dynamic at play is, as you mentioned, defining who President Trump is. And who President Trump is the great American warrior. This is the man that took a bullet for democracy. You watched President Trump on stage in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago say at best that this election is between fake, 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 and fight, fight, fight. Kamala Harris is a fake career politician who's never held a real job in her life. She's spent all of her life either running for office or being in office. She's ruthlessly ambitious and will say anything to get elected, as we've seen with all of her flip-flopping policies. And of course, she's been part of the suffering that the American people have had to endure for the last 4 years. We look at the issues most important to Americans, which is the economy, inflation, immigration. The reason Americans trust President Trump most on those issues is because of his record, right? President Trump is running to make America great again, and we do that by securing our border. That's something that's really important to the American people. Right now, we've had upwards of 10 million illegal immigrants, 30 tons of fentanyl, 360 names off the terror watch list come across our border under Border Czar Kamala Harris. If we don't have a border, we don't have a nation. And then, of course, people are yearning for that Trump economy back. They remember what it was like to be able to afford not just diapers and groceries, but have a chance at affording the American dream. And right now we're seeing people not being able to afford household goods. We're seeing the American dream of home ownership is really lost for a generation, especially for young people. And we're seeing people having to come out of retirement just to afford daily life, their bills and their medications. And so who President Trump is somebody who is going to make America great again by making America safe, strong, affordable, and even wealthy again.
Caroline, thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate you giving us that perspective. And I know a lot of people tuned in to that space last night with Elon Musk. And hopefully he does more of those. I'd love to see him do them weekly on a specific topic or something and hear more directly from the president without the angry left-leaning media getting involved and trying to screw everything up. So we appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. The Trump, let me get this right. Deputy Director of Communications for Donald J. Trump, Carolyn Sunshine. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan Wiggins will get back in studio with us. The YouTube live chat poll. Are you better off now than you were under Trump? Yes or no? Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Ryan, did you listen to the X space last night with Trump?
Yeah, I listened to a lot of it.
How much of it?
Oh, probably 45 minutes to an hour.
Which like, initially, when did you tune in and when did you tune out?
Well, I guess I missed all of the tech problems because I tuned in What's that?
Everybody, I mean, there's...
Well, yeah, nobody was participating in it.
But it was about 45 minutes late.
Yeah, so I tuned in at about 9 o'clock, I'd say, and stayed till about 10, right around there.
9 o'clock. So what were they talking about when you dipped out?
Well,
Why did you decide to dip out?
Well, I decided to dip out because my wife said, "Hey, I need you for something," and I had to run away.
Okay, so you weren't bored by it.
No, I was gonna hear the whole thing.
And then your wife.
And then my wife got in the way.
It's always the wife. What do you think?
My initial thought, now I'm trying to approach this completely like I'm just tuning it, because I was. I mean, I was just tuning in to kind of eavesdrop on a conversation, which is what it felt like. It was interesting to hear two guys who clearly know how to use money. They know the economy. And the reason that you can tell that they do is that they use language that regular people don't use to describe economics. It's weird because Trump speaks at like that seventh grade level that journalists say you're supposed to speak at. He just naturally does. But he's using vernacular that makes you know, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about when he talks about how to use money correctly. And so does Elon. So that's what really struck me. And that might have been right when I tuned in. That's what they were talking about. But that was my initial reaction.
What did you think about the experience? Because, you know, I put this out there last night as like a fireside chat where everybody gathers around. It's your phone. It's not your radio. But it's a pretty like desensitized way to communicate something.
Yeah. And I don't hear even Republican politicians doing this. So it's not just that Kamala doesn't do it. It's politicians don't do it because it is a very unsafe environment to talk to somebody just completely off the cuff for what, an hour and a half, two mm-hmm. hours, because there's so many things that you could just say because they were so freewheeling. I mean, it really just sounded like a podcast.
It was just people talking.
That you were listening. You were just kind of eavesdropping on two people having a conversation. And in that sense, it felt dangerous to me. And in a good way.
Which makes it interesting.
Yeah.
It's not so polished. I found it very interesting to listen to. Here, this is... Why is this not playing? Do you have this down? Can we have it up?
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him. You know, both sides. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
What'd you hear there?
I hear one thing. The point is... Yes, that's what I was going to say next.
Biden actually did something that was impossible.
It sounds like Lou Holtz. And if you if you know who Lou Holtz is and have listened to him, he sounds a lot like that. It sounds mush mouth and
Biden actually
slobbery.
Did something that was impossible.
So that part of the conversation had a lot of people, like haters, that all over him for that. And then this is from inside the room, not over the space.
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him. You know, both sides. Yeah. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
So there you go.
That's great. I had not heard that.
I know. That's why I wanted to make sure we played them back to back.
And I did hear that when I was listening to the interview.
Everybody did. Everyone was talking about
it.
The idea that there was some sort of lisp behind Donald Trump. It does sound like this is what it sounded like to me and to you last night. This
Biden
is from the space.
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him. You know, both sides. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
So that is from the space, and this is from a video that was taken on a phone in the room with Donald Trump while he was, you can see in the video that we've got shared with you right now, that his phone is just sitting in front of him. I saw another photograph where he has a microphone clipped on his lapel, up on his collarbone, is pretty high up there. And from inside the room, this is what Donald Trump sounds like.
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him.
When he says sides there, there is no slobbery slur that did come over spaces. So the compression on the spaces has Donald Trump sounding different than he did sound in real life. And I'm glad they took this video in real life to prove that, because I did notice that lisp.
I did too, but I assumed because we've heard Trump talk so much, even very recently, last couple of days, that wasn't there. That my assumption was, and this would be an honest...
He could have easily gotten some dental work done and had a retainer in.
Well, that's possible too.
Or something going on that was different.
But my assumption was this is a microphone issue because that's the most obvious explanation, having heard the guy like 2 days ago. He didn't have... It's not like you just suddenly have... The dental thing would be the only reason why it could naturally occur.
Well, I wanted to make sure that we overemphasize the difference between these two clips because it's a natural...
You know, both sides. Yeah. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
It's a natural thing for people to criticize his slurred speech. This is something that they have on the left tried to. They're talking about Donald Trump's age, and it's funny to me that one of the main left talking points, you hear them, they don't linger on it, but they always mention the fact that Kamala Harris is 20 years younger than Donald Trump, and they're trying to push the age thing into the conversation. The exact same people who told you the week before that they forced Joe Biden out of the race that he was too energized to keep up with. The deceitful lies that these folks are willing to tell, and then they can just change.
Yeah.
Transform the truth, and they look you in the eyes the whole time they're saying this to you. It's soulless. The way that they are willing to lie to you, that when things like this happen and they can try to fit this in the narrative that now Donald Trump is some doddering old man who's slurring his words and speaking with a lisp because he's got something going on health wise that's causing him to speak like this. No. Just N-O, period. No.
Yeah. USA Today. Trump rambles, slurs his way through Elon Musk interview. It was an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah. Maybe to you. Maybe in the USA Today.
Like I said, though, I heard it. You heard it. We didn't go write a story that somehow, this is the logic that they're trying to get you to agree to here. Somehow, within the last 24 hours, Trump has developed a slur to his speech that has never been there before.
Yeah. Somehow. Through audio compression.
Yes.
And a microphone. While he was speaking to like 1.3 million people.
Yes. But it's everywhere. The Soviet style manipulation of information that we're experiencing in America right now is remarkable. And I don't think it's just those of us in this room or the people listening to 97.1 who are realizing it. I think there is a undercurrent right now of America that's realizing this. That we are being manipulated. And if that is happening, if that's really happening in America, that is a good thing that we're understanding it.
CBS News tweets this morning at 7:42 a.m. Donald Trump ran through his checklist of conspiracy theories in a rambling conversation with Elon Musk Monday night that was initially derailed by what the tech titan said was a technical glitch. It wasn't a technical glitch. Elon Musk said last night specifically that it was a massive DDoS attack on the system. That's what he said. Now, if you want to say that he was lying about that, it wasn't a technical glitch. A technical glitch implies that Elon Musk's system didn't hang.
Right.
It was an actual attack on their system. I mean, go back and look at what Hillary Clinton said when her emails got hacked and like how it became an excuse for a whole bunch of things for her. It was something she relied on regularly, which I find incredibly ironic that a lot of the things that are happening to the Trump campaign right now are things that happened to the Clinton campaign that they blamed for losing that campaign. Email hack? Oh, you don't say. And my favorite part is the emails came from somebody named Robert. That's like the extent, like, how much information are we giving Robert? What? But CBS puts that out there and says that he goes through a checklist of conspiracy theories. What conspiracy theories are you talking about, CBS? What is it that Donald Trump talked last night? Is it climate change? It's hard for me to pin down what the issues are that you're talking about that were conspiracy theories, as if that's the only thing that he discussed. And it's not. He was talking about a whole assorted list of things, like what we played in the beginning of the show. That woman from Philadelphia was talking about how, you know, there are a lot of people who are having to figure out right now if they're going to be able to feed their family and themselves. Last night, Donald Trump was talking about food prices and Americans today. This is what he had to say.
You know, with all of that being said, to me, that's so important, the most important. But with all of that being said, the election's coming up and the people want to hear about the economy and the fact that
Absolutely,
they can't
sure.
buy groceries because they don't have enough money to buy groceries. The inflation has killed them. Food prices are up 50, 60, even 100% in some cases. And this stupid administration allowed this to happen. And it's a shame. And that's the thing that people most care about, in my opinion. They care about the border a lot. And we discuss the border at great length. And it's nice to have forum like this where I can discuss something at length. And by the way, you think Biden could do this interview? Do you think that Kamala could do this interview? They would take a pass on you.
No, they cannot.
So they don't need Elon They don't need Elon screaming out questions. It's pretty sad.
Huge compression on that. Distracting. And I mean, if you heard that and that was enough for you to go, we got what we need out of this, then you wouldn't listen to him talking about the fact that people can't afford their groceries. You wouldn't listen to Donald Trump talking about the importance that is the border and what Harris.
We have a defective government. These are defective people, and they're not people that should be running it. But where you see it the best is the border, because you have millions of people coming in a month. And then she gets up and she tries to pretend like she's going to do something. She had 3.5 years. And by the way, they have another 5 months that they can do something, but they won't do anything. It's all talk. She's incompetent and he's incompetent. And frankly, I think that she's more incompetent than he is. And that's saying something, because he's not too good.
Oh, and then the best line, and I think the thing that is going to live in infamy after this wrapped up, he was talking about Ukraine and Russia.
I know Putin very well. I got along with him very well. He respected me, and it's just one of those things. And we would talk a lot about Ukraine. It was the apple of his eye. But I said, don't ever do it. Don't ever do it. You can't do it, Vladimir. You do it, it's going to be a bad day. You cannot do it. And I told him things that what I do, and he said, no way. And I said, way.
No way, Garth. Way.
Here's Putin and Trump, the two most prolific, powerful people in the world going back and forth at the time. No way. Way.
Excellent.
Yeah. And how did, I mean, like, who won? The no way or the way? Our guy.
Our guy won way. That. Yeah. You know how we know that? Recent history. You know, in real life,
if those words came out of Joe Biden's mouth, we would just roast him.
Oh, yeah. But it would be fun. I mean, that would be fun.
And also, the reason why it's great that Trump did it is because he was top dog. If Joe Biden told us a story of going back and forth like that, and I said, don't, and then they didn't, the story would play differently. He says don't, and they're like, we're going to. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Way.
He's not just a candidate. This actually happened.
Yes, this is real, real stuff. Let's talk more in the 2 o'clock hour. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Are you better off now than you were under Trump? We'll be right back. In studio with us, the YouTube live chat poll. Are you better off now than you were under Trump? Yes or no? Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Ryan, did you listen to the X Space last night with Trump?
Yeah, I listened to a lot of it.
How much of it?
Oh, probably 45 minutes to an hour.
Which like, initially, when did you tune in and when did you tune out?
Well, I guess I missed all of the tech problems because I tuned in sometime between. What's that?
Everybody, I mean, there's.
Well, yeah, nobody was participating in it.
But it was like about 45 minutes late.
Yeah, so I tuned in about 9 o'clock, I'd say, and stayed till about 10, right around there.
9 o'clock. So what were they talking about when you dipped out?
Well,
why did you decide to dip out?
Well, I decided to dip out because my wife said, hey, I need you for something, and I had to run away.
Okay, so you weren't bored by it?
No, I was going to hear the whole thing.
And then your wife.
And then my wife got in the way.
It's always the wife. What do you think?
My initial thought, now I'm trying to approach this completely like I'm just tuning in, because I was. I mean, I was just tuning in to kind of eavesdrop on a conversation, which is what it felt like. It was interesting to hear two guys who clearly know how to use money. They know the economy. And the reason that you can tell that they do is that they use language that regular people don't use to describe economics. It's weird because Trump speaks at like that seventh grade level that journalists say you're supposed to speak at. He just naturally does. But he's using vernacular that makes you know, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about when he talks about how to use money correctly. And so does Elon. So that's what really struck me. And I might have been right when I tuned in. That's what they were talking about. But that was my initial reaction.
What did you think about the experience? Because, you know, I put this out there last night. It's like a fireside chat where everybody gathers around. It's your phone. It's not your radio. But it's a pretty like desensitized way to communicate something.
Yeah. And I don't hear
just audio.
I don't hear even Republican politicians doing this. So it's not just that Kamala doesn't do it, it's politicians don't do it. Because it is a very unsafe environment to talk to somebody just completely off the cuff for, what, an hour and a half, two hours? Because there's so many things that you could just say, because they were so freewheeling. I mean, it really just sounded like a podcast.
It was just people talking.
That you were listening. You were just kind of eavesdropping on two people having a conversation. And in that sense, it felt dangerous to me. And in a good way.
Which makes it interesting.
Yeah.
It's not so polished. I found it very interesting to listen to. Here, this is... Why is this not playing? Do you have this down? Can we have it up?
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him. You know, both sides. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
What'd you hear there?
I hear one thing. I mean, the point is... Yes, that's what I was going to say next.
Biden actually did something that was impossible.
He sounds like Lou Holtz. And if you know who Lou Holtz is and have listened to him, he sounds a lot like that. It sounds mush mouth and
Biden actually
slobbery.
Did something that was impossible.
So that part of the conversation had a lot of people, like haters, that all over him for that. And then this is from inside the room, not over the space.
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him. You know, both sides. Yeah. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
So there you go.
That's great. I had not heard that.
I know. That's why I wanted to make sure we played them back to back.
And I did hear that when I was listening to the interview.
Everybody did. Everyone was talking about
it.
The idea that there was some sort of lisp behind Donald Trump. It does sound like this is what it sounded like to me and to you last night. This
Biden
is from the space.
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him. You know, both sides. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
So that is from the space, and this is from a video that was taken on a phone in the room with Donald Trump while he was, you can see in the video that we've got shared with you right now, that his phone is just sitting in front of him. I saw another photograph where he has a microphone clipped on his lapel, up on his collarbone, pretty high up there. And from inside the room, this is what Donald Trump sounds like.
Biden actually did something that was impossible. Both sides hate him.
When he says sides there is no slobbery slur that did come over spaces. So the compression on the spaces has Donald Trump sounding different than he did sound in real life. And I'm glad they took this video in real life to prove that, because I did notice that lisp.
I did too, but I assumed because we've heard Trump talk so much, even very recently, last couple of days, that wasn't there. That my assumption was, and this would be an
honest...
He could
have easily gotten some dental work done and had a retainer in.
Well, that's possible too.
Or something going on that was different.
But my assumption was this is a microphone issue because that's the most obvious explanation, having heard the guy like 2 days ago. It's not like you just suddenly have the dental thing would be the only reason why it could naturally occur.
Well, I wanted to make sure that we overemphasize the difference between these two clips because it's a natural,
you know, both sides. Yeah. That was a hard thing to do. Unification.
It's a natural thing for people to criticize his slurred speech. This is something that they have on the left tried to, they're talking about Donald Trump's age. And it's funny to me that one of the main left talking points, you hear them, they don't linger on it, but they always mention the fact that Kamala Harris is 20 years younger than Donald Trump. And they're trying to push the age thing into the conversation. The exact same people who told you the week before that they forced Joe Biden out of the race, that he was too energized to keep up with. The deceitful lies that these folks are willing to tell, and then they can just change.
Yeah.
Transform the truth, and they look you in the eyes the whole time they're saying this to you. It's soulless the way that they are willing to lie to you, that when things like this happen and they can try to fit this in the narrative that now Donald Trump is some doddering old man who's slurring his words and speaking with a lisp because he's got something going on health-wise that's causing him to speak like this. No. No. Just N-O, period. No.
Yeah. USA Today. Trump rambles, slurs his way through Elon Musk interview. It was an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah. Maybe to you. Maybe to USA Today.
Like I said, though, I heard it. You heard it. We didn't go write a story that somehow this is the logic that they're trying to get you to agree to here. Somehow, within the last 24 hours, Trump has developed a slur to his speech that has never been there before.
Yeah, somehow, through audio compression
yes.
and a microphone, while he was speaking to like 1.3 million people.
Yes, and but it's everywhere. The Soviet-style manipulation of information that we're experiencing in America right now is remarkable. And I don't think it's just those of us in this room or the people listening to 97.1 who are realizing it. I think there is a undercurrent right now of America that's realizing this, that we are being manipulated. And if that is happening, if that's really happening in America, that is a good thing that we're understanding it.
CBS News tweets this morning at 7:42 a.m. Donald Trump ran through his checklist of conspiracy theories in a rambling conversation with Elon Musk Monday night that was initially derailed by what the tech titan said was a technical glitch. It wasn't a technical glitch. Elon Musk said last night specifically that it was a massive DDoS attack on the system. That's what he said. Now, if you want to say that he was lying about that, it wasn't a technical glitch. A technical glitch implies that Elon Musk's system didn't hang.
Right.
It was an actual attack on their system. I mean, go back and look at what Hillary Clinton said when her emails got hacked and like how it became an excuse for a whole bunch of things for her. It was something she relied on regularly, which I find incredibly ironic that a lot of the things that are happening to the Trump campaign right now are things that happened to the Clinton campaign that they blamed for losing that campaign. Email hack? Oh, you don't say. And my favorite part is the emails came from somebody named Robert. That's like the extent, like, how much information are we giving Robert? What? But CBS puts that out there and says that he goes through a checklist of conspiracy theories. What conspiracy theories are you talking about, CBS? What is it that Donald Trump talked about last night? Is it climate change? It's hard for me to pin down what the issues are that you're talking about that were conspiracy theories, as if that's the only thing that he discussed. And it's not. He was talking about a whole assorted list of things, like what we played in the beginning of the show. That woman from Philadelphia was talking about how, you know, there are a lot of people who are having to figure out right now if they're going to be able to feed their family and themselves. Last night, Donald Trump was talking about food prices and Americans today. This is what he had to say.
You know, with all of that being said, to me, that's so important, the most important. But with all of that being said, the election's coming up and the people want to hear about the economy and the fact that
Absolutely,
they can't
sure.
buy groceries because they don't have enough money to buy groceries. The inflation has killed them. Food prices are up 50, 60, even 100% in some cases. And this stupid administration allowed this to happen. And it's a shame. And that's the thing that people most care about, in my opinion. They care about the border a lot. And we discuss the border at great length. And it's nice to have a forum like this where I can discuss something at length. And by the way, you think Biden could do this interview? Do you think that Kamala could do this interview? They would take a pass
no,
on you.
No, they cannot.
So they don't need Elon. They don't need Elon screaming out questions. It's pretty sad.
Huge compression on that. Distracting. And I mean, if you heard that and that was enough for you to go, we got what we need out of this, then you wouldn't listen to him talking about the fact that people can't afford their groceries. You wouldn't listen to Donald Trump talking about the importance that is the border and what Harris.
We have a defective government. These are defective people and they're not people that should be running it. But where you see it the best is the border, because you have millions of people coming in a month. And then she gets up and she tries to pretend like she's going to do something. She had 3.5 years. And by the way, they have another 5 months that they can do something, but they won't do anything. It's all talk. She's incompetent and he's incompetent. And frankly, I think that she's more incompetent than he is. And that's saying something because he's not too good.
Oh, and then the best line, and I think the thing that is going to live in infamy after this wrapped up, he was talking about Ukraine and Russia.
I know Putin very well. I got along with him very well. He respected me, and it's just one of those things. And we would talk a lot about Ukraine. It was the apple of his eye. But I said, don't ever do it. Don't ever do it. You can't do it, Vladimir. You do it, it's going to be a bad day. You cannot do it. And I told him things that what I do, And he said, no way. And I said, way.
No way, Garth. Way.
Here's Putin and Trump, the two most prolific, powerful people in the world going back and forth at the time. No way. Way.
Excellent.
Yeah. And how did, I mean, like, who won? The no way or the way? Our guy.
Our guy won way. That. Yeah. You know how we know that? Recent history. You know, he goes
in real life. If those words came out of Joe Biden's mouth, we would just roast him.
Oh, yeah. But it would be fun. I mean, that would be fun.
And also, the reason why it's great that Trump did it is because he was top dog. If Joe Biden told us a story of going back and forth like that, and I said don't, and then they didn't, the story would play differently. He says don't, and they're like, we're going to, and he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Way.
He's not just a candidate. This actually happened.
Yes, this is real, real stuff. Let's talk more in the 2 o'clock hour. Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Are you better off now than you were under Trump? We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.